Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. That's the title of Father Jeff Kirby's latest book. Father is the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina. He's the host of the Daily Devotional, Daily Discipleship with Father Kirby, and many other things, and the author of pretty close to 2 dozen books. We're closing in on 2 dozen books. Father Kirby, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
I know people will ask this, so I will. Before we went in the air, I asked about whether the storm had hit you, and you said, "Praise be to God, it had passed you by." So I'm glad all is well where you are.
Yes. Our area was very fortunate. Yes, thanks be to God.
And you're in a faux library. That's your backdrop today. Exactly. Is that all the Kirby books back there? Is that a full library of Kirby books?
Exactly.
Oh, very good. Glad to see it. Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. You know, they say that when you write a book, it's to meet a need. What's the need? What are you seeing as a pastor that gives you the sense that we need this prompt to stop trying to follow Jesus our way and to do it His way?
Yes, I think we see widespread lukewarmness and indifference.
Yeah,
and that's definitely raised some concern.
So if we see this widespread lukewarmness, as you said, or indifference, and I imagine there's not a pastor anywhere that hasn't seen that in their parish. To some degree related to the media culture we live in, to the kind of mass culture that we all are part of, and it's kind of dampens enthusiasm. It makes people feel that they're a small part of a big world instead of being an important part of the world that with a vital mission to accomplish. But you start the whole thing off with a focus on Jesus. Chapter one is just a four-chapter book. But chapter one, the one Lord, not one of many. So is in your mind, is there a kind of part of this lukewarmness is a maybe not even an intellectualized, but an implicit kind of syncretism, that there's lots of different ways to get there.
Oh, very much so. You know, and the real poison of lukewarmness is it kills the zeal or the excitement or the enthusiasm that should be a mark of, well, love in general, but especially our love for the Lord and love for others in His love. And so lukewarmness just comes and just eats away the soul and just, as this, heaviness of the soul doesn't allow it to really, function or do what God has asked and has designed it to do. But in terms of, the one Lord, that's where it begins. So you can imagine just like, if you look at, for example, marriage, if the husband is focused on his wife, there's an intensity of love, a creativity of love. But if he starts looking around and looking at other women and daydreaming and thinking, the love just weakens. And the same, I think, in the society today, it's kind of like neo-paganism, where all the things that should be given to God are now kind of given to other things, trust in the future, security, safety, are being given to other things. So it really is kind of a restoration of this type of, pantheon of false gods. And the more we do that, the less energy or love there is that we want or are able to give to the Lord.
So, maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but there's a certain way in which I have a what's it called? Like a retirement account. Everyone's got their retirement account. That's where I'm putting my trust. I'm not trying to imply that the retirement account is a bad idea. I'm sure it's a good idea. But it does kind of undermine that immediate sense of dependence on the Lord.
It does. It does. And you know, and certainly there's a place for prudence. In fact, we're called to be, you know, prudent in terms of our well-being and to care for ourselves, our loved ones. But very much to your point, which is, you know, when that becomes, and we, you know, as human beings, we know this. We know when it's prudence and it's, you know, it's an appropriate preparation, as opposed to when it's given that intensity or when it's become enthroned. And we know that. Like, you know, when people, yeah, you know, they're checking the stock market more than they are praying, or everything is about this money, or everything is about, you know, the investments and so on. And you know, again, it's funny because, you know, people will say, oh, I can't pray, but my goodness, they've established a pretty good consistent rhythm of you know, checking their money. And you know what I mean? It's like we can introduce them to the illusion of the hours, they could become saints. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and, you know what, right, I mean? Right.
And, right. But it's that absolutization or that total confidence or the giving of the heart. I mean, the Lord warns us of this. So you cannot give your heart to both God and mammon. So the things of the world or the things of God, it's one or the other. And so certainly there's a place for prudence. We have to, you know, plan for the future. We have to be, you know, careful with our money. But we have to be careful just where we put our hearts.
Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours, is the new book from Father Jeff Kirby. I'll tell you what, I'll give it away to the first few callers, 888-318-7884. I can do that because it is from Catholic Answers Press, which means I've got them in stock to give away to you. If you have questions about being real disciples of Jesus today, 888-318-7884 is the number to call, 888-318-7884. All right, so the one Lord, not many, is where you begin. You go on to the gospel, not cleverly devised myths. Yes. What are you trying to help us with there?
Yes, because you know, so oftentimes we kind of want to water down the gospel. So obviously that second part I took from St. Peter in the New Testament, where he's, you know, we follow, you know, revelations of God and not cleverly devised myths. But sometimes that's how we approach the gospel. Well, it's nice stories, or people say that, you know, the gospel, you know, it's encouraging messages, and you know, it's you know, we kind of turned into a variation of type of some type of Hallmark card, you know, and that's where we leave it. And so the idea that, no, like, this is actually the summary of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. This is describing his most excellent way, which is the way to eternal life. I mean, our life, our eternal life hinges upon this. Sometimes that's kind of dumbed down or almost completely dismissed or rejected. And so we have these cleverly devised myths, you know. And these myths are just, you know, well, God's, you know, God understands, or, everyone who dies goes to heaven, or, you know, these things that we create, you know, in a post-Christian world that we begin to, you know, believe and actually to follow it. And it's not true. You know, certainly it's something that God has taught, certainly nothing he has revealed. And yet people want to follow that because, you know, if we step back and we look at it and we say, you know, the eternal Son of God became man, you know, worked with human hands, cried human tears, loved with a human heart, showed us how to live as the children of God. By his paschal mystery, his passion, death, and resurrection, has offered us his grace to cooperate with them, so work out our lives by following his way and hopefully, you know, attain eternal life in him. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's pretty, like, you know, in your face, you know? Like,
yeah.
And there's not a lot of wiggle room there. And that's the gospel. And if we take it at face value, we have to say either I believe this, and I'm going to stake my life on this, I'm going to try to be a better disciple, and I want to work out my salvation in Jesus Christ, or, you know what, these are cute stories I was told as a kid. I like the little parables. I like the little prodigal son thing. I like the, and that's all it is, and I'm really going to stake my life on other things. And that chapter is meant to kind of, you know, rattle that cage a little bit. You know, do we really understand the consequences of this and why the gospel has been given to us?
888-318-7884 is the number. Do you as a pastor see this phenomenon of people who believe the gospel, or at least confess belief in the gospel, but also seem to hold what appear to be contrary either moral beliefs or superstitions, so that I'm thinking of somebody who I actually know who both believes in Jesus and believes in manifesting your desires to the universe, you know, like,
yes,
and does not see that you've got to pick. You have to.
Right.
It occurred to this person, it seems to me, or if it has, it's been rejected, that you have to choose. Do you want to manifest to the universe, or do you want to put your hands entirely in the hands of the Savior?
Yes, yes. In fact, I'll give you an example. In my area, I was working with one of the evangelical colleges, and they shared with me that they're in kind of a dilemma because they have a faith statement that would-be students have to sign, and they now have a group of basically Christian, Buddhist kind of sort of thing, who have signed this faith statement saying, well, we believe all that, but we believe in other stuff too. And they're kind of at this odds now where they have to rewrite their entire faith statement to kind of emphasize the unique nature of Christ and the exclusive nature of discipleship. So we're certainly seeing it in the Catholic Church. Our evangelical neighbors are seeing it as well.
Right.
And it comes back to is if you don't accept absolute truth, if you don't believe in one Lord, if you don't believe in one gospel, well, then, everything just becomes, different ornaments on the Christmas tree, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have some of this, I'll have some of that. Like, well, who says I can't believe in Jesus and Buddha? It's like, well, how about Jesus?
Right.
There's only one way to the Father. So I think sometimes, as believers who understand, reality and what's at stake and what this means, we can forget that those who are not accepting the faith are also actually just denying just metaphysical basic reality.
Yeah.
Jesus can be God and not God. Buddha can be, the one that I draw close to, and I'm not in idolatry. And it's like, what? Like, it's kind of a free for all, and a total just blurring and attack on reality, which is very peculiar.
So it seems to me almost like in those first two chapters, you deal with double-heartedness. That is, the heart being attached to more than one Lord. And then double-mindedness, the mind being kind of accepting of various modes that are incompatible with one another, that don't go together.
Yes, yes. And I tell a story in the book about I was invited to a cocktail party, and honestly, I'm concerned as I age, I become more and more like Saint Jerome, who our tradition calls the irascible saint, and you would never invite Saint Jerome to a cocktail party, but I'm kind of concerned I'm starting to become like that because on one occasion I was at one of these social events and kind of high class ish, and this gentleman said to me, I believe in Jesus and I study the writings of Buddha and the poems of Hinduism and so on, and I just had to push, it's like, okay, you have all this, but, do you acknowledge the claims that Jesus is making? Like, do you accept that he is, God made man? And, I think he was a good teacher. It's like, no. Good teachers don't lie. So either he is who he said he was, or he's a liar, right? He is not a good teacher, right? And this is, of course, a version of a variation of C.S. Lewis's argument. And the argument, the conversation went south fast, because it's just meant to be a social conversation or some type of weird pseudo-progressive reflection on religion, and more we're finding this, in various sectors of society where, it's okay as long as you believe in something or you can believe in everything. And, ultimately, on Jesus' own terms, that denounces who Jesus claims to be. It's very, very disturbing.
And that's why the subtitle says How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. There are many ways we might prefer to follow him, but he has very clear presentation of who he is and what are the means of following him. The irascible Father Jeff Kirby is our guest. Real Discipleship is the name of the book, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. Your calls and questions are welcome. 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
This is Father John Trigilio. We need Catholic Radio because it is a lifeline to Holy Mother Church. Catholic Radio enables us to know what the Church teaches, but also to have solidarity with one another. It is one way that we express our commonality, our communio, that we are family, and by staying together, we can be God's children here on earth.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Father Jeffrey Kirby, our guest. Real Discipleship is the new book, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. And there is a way to follow Jesus His Way. Maybe you have a question about that. What exactly is His Way? How does He present that? How do we know which way is His Way? All those questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Before I take calls and go back to conversation with Father Kirby, I want to invite you to get Catholic Answers 2025 calendar. Each year we do a sacred art calendar, and we've been really happy with them. You may not know this, but the Catholic Church has produced the finest art in the history of the world. And so we had a great deal of art to draw on. You know, as I've said, you know, the Caravaggios and the Da Vincis and the Michelangelos, they're all there for us. But this year we did something really different because, do you know something? The Catholic Church is still producing some of the greatest art produced in the world. And so we went entirely with contemporary artists, people who are still alive and still painting. So it's called Sacred Art for the Modern Age. You can see, if you're looking, you can see there's Christ the King right on the front. And what a beautiful painting that is of Christ arrayed as king. And for each month, a different bit of of contemporary Catholic art. So if you want to see what Catholic artists are doing today, what the work is like. Oh, what a beautiful triptych in May, a triptych of Mary. And there's Pope John Paul II or worshiping the Lord Jesus, the infant Jesus on the lap of Mary. It's just another beautiful painting each month in this wonderful calendar. We'd love you to have it. Just go to Catholic.com. Just go to Catholic.com, click on the bar at the top of the page, and you can get yours. Catholic Answers 2025 Sacred Art Calendar. This year, all of the art comes from living Catholic artists. Sacred Art for the Modern Age. Catholic.com, click on the banner to get yours. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking with Father Jeffrey Kirby about his beautiful new book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. And if you've got a call and a question, you're welcome to get on, and a bunch of folks do. So, Father, if it's all right with you, I'll just go to the phones. Is that okay?
Great. Sounds good.
All right. We'll start in Omaha, Nebraska. Listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, Kathy in Omaha, Nebraska. We're awful glad you're here, Kathy. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. But I wonder what Father would say about the long lines for communion, but the very, very short lines for confession.
That's fun. Yes. Now, I have to tell you, it feels like a long line.
Church goes to communion.
Okay. All right. Father, go ahead.
Yes, Kathy, I think it's a great point, and I think it's sort of certainly something we have to address. It concerns me as a Christian. It concerns me certainly as a priest. You know, and oftentimes the solution is actually very easy. It just takes the priest, the local pastor, to preach about, you know, the Ten Commandments, or to preach about confession, also to make confessions available at reasonable times. So I was mentioning before the show, like, we have confessions here at my parish on Monday and Wednesday nights. Because a lot of times, you know, for families, especially now with sports and activities and other things that they're, you know, pulled and required to do, the Saturday afternoon thing is really a model of the past. So try to provide confession times in the morning and then in the evenings and the afternoons. I love First Fridays. So at my parish, we have First Friday confessions. We have confessions till midnight. I always joke around and say, if you come after midnight, you're going to turn into a pumpkin, you know? So no matter what your schedule is, you can make it. And I have packed lines. It wraps around the church. And part of that is by a catechesis and a sustained preaching effort to teach, providing spiritual resources. I mean, Catholic Entrance has great stuff on confession that can be given out. So it concerns me, but if you want hope, I can tell you it's easy to fix.
What do you think about that? Does that make sense to you, Kathy?
Well, we have confessions in the morning before Mass for about 10 minutes. And we're lucky if there's two or three people. I get there all the time. I go once a month, but I'm always the only one or even the first one to go. And I don't know why people don't. Does he cover that in his book?
So, thank you, Kathy. I do talk about the importance of confession and repentance. I'll say this just in terms of what you're describing in your parish is I would reach out to your pastor and just speak to him in a respectful manner about, you know, if he could maybe preach about confession. I also think it's important to maybe rally some donors and see if some books or booklets can be given out at the parish about confession. And I also think it's important for you to invite your friends. Hey, I'm going to confession. Would you like to come with me? One of the things I stress to my parishioners is, you know, I can give 1,000 sermons on confession, and it'll work in some capacity. But sometimes it just takes one Christian inviting another Christian to come to confession. And so it can be fixed. It can be done. You know, sometimes we have to go in a progressive manner. We have to, you know, go slowly, progressive development in terms of understanding and new Christian practice. But I encourage my parishioners to go monthly to confession, and they do. And we have confessions every day, almost every day. And then, of course, large feast days. We're coming up on All Saints Day, and my parishioners know that after all the Masses on the Holy Day, confessions are available right after Mass. So it's a beautiful way to mark the holy day. So again, variations and different things depending on the parish, but it can be fixed. There's no reason why we have short confession lines and long lines for Holy Communion.
Kathy, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. Doris is in New York listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Doris, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Question for Father is... any word of advice that you would can share regarding how to engage siblings? I have a lot of them, and we used to meet for the holiday dinners, but then during dinner time, you know, there would be conversations from other guests where they would sometimes speak disparaging things about Christianity or Catholic schools, and all of us, my siblings, went to Catholic schools, and I thought we were all Christians until I've been counted a few of those occasions. So from that point on, I decided to not join the parties because I could not just sit there and not say anything. But when I do say something, you know, people kind of tell me to slow, you know, not to really engage too much and just sit there and not say anything. And I just can't find myself to do that, find it in me to do that. So any words of advice?
Yes. So, Doris, thank you for your question. And I'll say this, you know, I have to acknowledge that I think one of the benefits that God has given to me is this Irish wit and humor, which actually goes a long way when you're in a difficult situation to try to use a lighthearted approach or humor to address things. That doesn't always work. And sometimes people just, you know, don't have that naturally. But I have found that to be very helpful in my priesthood and in my own Christian witness. In terms of family, I would encourage you to still try to attend events. And, you know, when things come up that are difficult, I mean, sometimes what happens is as Christians, we know what we have to say or we get upset. And then we let it build up because we don't know how to say it or how to address it. And then when we do address it, in spite of our best efforts, sometimes we can come across too strong. I've seen this a lot in different areas where Christians try to address the LGBTQ+ movement or, you know, Black Lives Matter Incorporated. And because it's built up, they come across too strong, right?
Oh.
And you know, so sometimes when we allow a certain peace of mind and heart, then, you know, when people come up and they say something, you know, about the church, and sometimes answering a question with a question is great, right? So someone says something, they say, well, okay, that's not been my experience. I'm curious why you would say that. And I hope to, you know, and I would want us to say that sincerely. Like, why would this person that I love, this person that is a member of my family, why would they say that, right? And to try to understand as best we can. I'm not saying that we have to sit there and be mocked or degraded or become, you know, anyone's doormat. But I do think that the Lord provided us so many different avenues of approaching people in difficult situations that we can certainly handle that as Christians and navigate our way through it and perhaps even give a strong witness or a counter thought to our loved ones.
Doris, what do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I just have to develop more of a better sense of humor.
Most of us do, Doris. But especially, it is hard, Father, when you feel the grave pressure of people really having abandoned the truth, but you just can't force it. You can't.
And oftentimes a humorous approach or a lighthearted approach catches people off guard. And Americans love to laugh. So we get people laughing, they listen.
Doris, thank you so much. Hang on for your book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours, from Father Jeff Kirby, our guest. Right back with more questions for Father Kirby right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, celebrating All Souls Day and Soulful Psalm 21.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Our guest is Father Jeff Kirby. He's got a wonderful new book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. And I need books like this that awaken me again. It's so easy to become, I suppose, lulled is the word, lulled into a kind of, living the faith in a kind of everyday way without remembering the precious gift we have in the person of Jesus and in the church that he gave us. So I highly recommend the book to you, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. And maybe you've got a question about overcoming your own lukewarmness, about helping others overcome lukewarmness in their life as Catholics. You are welcome to call and talk with Father Kirby, 888-318-7884. Maybe just a couple callers ahead of you right now. I think we will get you in if you call now, 888-318-7884. Before we go back to Father Kirby, two things I've got to tell you. This book is a Catholic Answers book. It's from Catholic Answers Press. That's why I'm able to give it to those who call with questions today. But that also means that we can put it on sale whenever we want. And right now you can get it for 25% off the new book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. Just use the promo code Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y, at checkout at shop.catholic.com, and you get 25% off the book. I know that'll go for today. I don't know about after that. They don't have an expiration date on it. So give it a try today. Get your copy today. Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. 25% off when you use the promo code Kirby at shop.catholic.com. And that 25% off is in addition to any other savings you get right now, because all of our 20 Answers books and ebooks are on sale right now. Savings in some cases up to 60% off. Don't miss out. Head over to shop.catholic.com and find out what the deals are. Wonderful, wonderful deals over at shop.catholic.com. Again, Father Jeff Kirby, our guest. And if you are experiencing your own lukewarmness, which I don't think we should feel, I don't know how Father Kirby feels about this, but I don't feel necessarily that we should feel ashamed about that. If that's the case, we can talk about it. We can find others to help us and reignite that fire. I do think that the entire modern world in some ways is structured to make lukewarm Catholics. So if that's the case with you, no reason to feel ashamed. Maybe feel welcome. We'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. All right, I think I'm going to go to Gary in Ohio. Let's see. I'm sorry, excuse me, Gary. I just got to find which line you're on here. Gary in Ohio, are you there with us?
Hello.
Hi, Gary. Go ahead with your question for Father Kirby.
Yes, Father. I love 1 Peter 3:15, and we can always give a reason the hope that which is in us, and truly become a saint and allow God to prevail. And I just love to consider how I can do that more fully, Father, and what your book addresses about that.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Gary. I appreciate just the openness of that question. I can tell that you're already taking your discipleship pretty seriously. And depending on what you share and what you're asking, I think you'll very much be helped by this book on real discipleship. Because what it does is it takes the Lord Jesus at face value. It takes the call to discipleship, whether it's the call to mercy or selfless service, all the different aspects of what it means to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. And just, it goes right to the scriptures. It's heavily biblical, and it just draws lessons. I use a few pastoral stories in order to help, kind of make the points digestible. And I think you'll enjoy it, because it's really just a walk through what are the challenges of discipleship, how are we supposed to be living as disciples, what does this look like when we're trying to follow the Lord on His terms and not our own?
Gary, if you want to hang on, I'll send you a copy of the book. Thank you very much for taking the time to reach out and ask your question of Father Jeff Kirby, the author of the new book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. You know, Father, I was just thinking as you were answering Gary, the How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours, I guess I was kind of going at it entirely with the person who's too lax. But I noticed, too, we have this internet phenomenon of rigorist Catholics who lay heavy burdens on people. You're not really Catholic if you're not praying this way, or you're not really Catholic if you're not doing... And there are things where you're not really Catholic if you're not doing certain things, but they're few. They're not many. So, like, if you're not making it to Mass every Sunday, all right, you need to get to Mass. But there's not a secret novena or something. Sometimes you feel that way, that people are pushing every novena and every devotion as if it were the heart of the matter, and they are simply not the heart of the matter.
Exactly. And whether it's a novena or some ceremonial or tradition within the church, which, I certainly love and certainly welcome. I love the tradition of the church. But there's a point where we realize that
we have to get to the heart of the matter. If someone begins to, you know, observe, you know, just the external ceremonials and traditions, and they've never really been introduced to the message of Jesus Christ or to the call to fan and flame the graces of the sacraments by making that personal decision for Him, if they're not willing to do that, if they haven't done that, you know, then there's the threat always of, you know, becoming that Pharisee, right, who's very sincere, who takes this very seriously, who can explain all the history and the devotional reasons for a particular custom or tradition, but they end up spending all their time on that and never really talking about Jesus Christ. I mean, just recently I was at a retreat, and the person who was giving the talks, I mean, it was all about various apparitions of the church. It was about various devotionals, all of which was wonderful. I you know, learned a bunch of different things. But at the end of it, I said, it's just regrettable that this person in all this time never spoke of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not do that? How do you not bring the scriptures into a retreat about living the Christian way of life? So I think we definitely have to be careful of either extreme.
All right, let's head to Peoria, Illinois. Catherine in Peoria, Illinois, listening on EWTN. We're glad you're here. Catherine, go ahead with your question for Father Jeff Kirby.
Hi, thank you. Yes, my husband and I, we've been married for 53 years now, but he changed to Catholic when we got married, and the one thing that he does not do is he will not go to confession, because he, you know, had never done it. You know, he did it before, you know, we got married. That was the one time, you know, that he when he changed Catholic. But and then he went to RCIA for, you know, and had done the confession. But anyway, he will not go to confession, and he goes to communion all the time. And I'm worried that if I say to him, you have to go to confession to be able to go to communion when you commit a sin, because he believes he can just go to the Lord himself, you know. And I'm afraid that he will not go to church with me, and he won't, you know, he'll change to a different church if I say that to him. And so I'm just, I don't know if I'm sinning by not having him, you know, by telling him he can't go to communion. Because when he goes on fishing trips and stuff like that, like, he'll skip, you know, going to Mass. And
well, let's let Father.
He goes to Mass with me every Sunday, you know, here at home. But when he leaves, you know, goes somewhere else, he doesn't.
All right, Father?
Yeah, so Catherine, this book was actually written in response to the way in which your husband and others approach discipleship. It's very casual. It's very selective. It's unbiblical in many cases, and so on. So I think you could benefit from real discipleship, because I try to walk through the book and provide biblical basis and pastoral perspectives in order to sit down. For example, you know, I suspect, you know, maybe entering in a generic way, that in a person in your husband's situation has perhaps never really fanned in the flame the graces of the sacrament and given that personal decision for Jesus Christ, who has allowed that personal relationship to be, you know, the impetus for the discipleship and to study the scriptures. I mean, you know, I think it would be too quick to sit down and say, for example, go over St. Paul's teachings on sacrilegious communion to receive the body of the Lord in an unworthy manner. It's there. You could do that. But based on what you're saying, you know, missing Mass, taking things very casually, it sounds that there's some intentional aspects of discipleship that need to be worked on. And Catherine, your husband's not alone. Like, this is why this book was written, because this is how many of our fellow Catholic Christians are approaching the faith. And it just, it is not what the Lord deserves. It is not what He merits from us for all that He has done for us. The greatest gift in the world is that the Lord Jesus turns, and we don't deserve it, we don't merit it. He turns and He says, come follow me. And He lets us. And I think going back to that initial yes is perhaps maybe a good start with your husband. You know, say, you know, ask him, who's Jesus to you? Do you know what it means to follow Him? Like, and start there, and then let the way of life flow from it.
Catherine, we'll send you a copy of the book if you just hang on. I got to go to the break real quick, but it may be one for you to read and then talk about with him or maybe give him. I don't know. That's entirely up to you, but you're getting a free copy, so hang on. Give us an address, and we will send it off. Father Jeff Kirby is our guest. Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. It's the new book out from Catholic Answers Press. We'll continue discussing it with its author right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He was a bishop, a lawyer, patron saint of confessors, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
After earning doctorates in both canon and civil law at the age of 16, Alphonsus Liguori joined the priesthood and went on to become a bishop, the founder of the Redemptorist Congregation, and patron saint of moral theologians, and was declared a doctor of the church in 1871.
To find out more about the Doctors of the Church, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Jeffrey Kirby's book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours, is out now from Catholic Answers Press, and he is our guest this hour. I'm going to go right back to the phones, but I would like to ask you a question, Father, if I may, before I go back to the phones, which has to do with true and false discipleship. It seems to me that that's what you're getting at here, that there is a true discipleship. So maybe I'll just give you two questions. One, what is it? What is true discipleship? And two, the challenge question that I know that people have when they're sitting in the car listening, who are you to tell me what true discipleship is?
Yes. So the first one, what is true discipleship? It's to hear the call of the Lord as he calls us each by name and giving that generous yes, that eventually should become, unconditional, to realize that we can trust him, that he loves us. We see all that he has done for us, and we seek as best we can to give all that we have for him. So that's real discipleship. And then, who am I? Well, exactly. Like, I am bruised, broken, a work in progress just like anyone else. But I know what the Lord has taught me. We can look at the Gospels and we can see what he calls us to. And there, the Lord can speak on his own. So we simply echo what the Master has already taught. And so anyone who would challenge, well, who are you? I think you're right, but let's look at the Gospels together.
All right, back to the phones we go then. Let's go to Seth in Charleston, South Carolina. That's where you are in South Carolina, listening on 5:30 a.m. Seth, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Hi. I'm actually a friend of Father Kirby's.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure that's a small group, so we're glad that you called. Oh, I apologize. I have fun. Sorry, Father.
He has some friends.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. I'm very glad to hear that.
But I was wondering if his book addresses what it means to be, if there's a difference between being a disciple of Jesus Christ and something I always kind of struggle with is like the ambiguity of being, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I understand that's a real thing. But it seems to be kind of people tend to kind of shy away from listing out what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is. So I wonder if there is a way to put that in context of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, if that question makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. No, Seth, thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. And I have to tell you, Seth's an amazing person. He's a nurse down in Charleston, does some really great work in the culture of life. Yeah, so Seth, I think your question is, you know, so discipleship is a relationship with Christ, and we place that relationship in biblical culture. You know, when someone in biblical culture would call a person a friend, it really meant like an adopted sibling. So we treat friendship very loosely and like a commodity in our culture today. So we tell people you need to be a friend of Jesus. It's lost. Like the biblical depth is lost, you know. And so friendship, relationship, it's all different variations of what it means to just be with the Lord. And that includes discipleship. I use the term discipleship. It's biblical. It also highlights the fact that he's the master. We are the followers, that he calls us to a friendship, to a relationship that we really have not earned or merited. And our rapport with him, our relationship with him, you know, while is one of closeness and care and you know, love, is really one that is a gift, you know. And so that's why I kind of highlight discipleship. And we know that the obedience of faith is, you know, has been very much compromised in the lives of many who are disciples. So I use the term discipleship, but in the end, it's all just variations of expressing what it means to be with Christ. And I agree with you. Sometimes people use these terms, and I realize by using these terms, I have to be cautious. But, you know, people use the terms relationship with Christ or personal relationship with Christ or personal decision for Christ. And what does that mean? You know, and you know, some of the practical things I would say, it means the sacraments. It means a life of prayer. It means selfless service. It means being invested in your local, you know, Christian community, like Holy Fellowship. And, you know, it means studying the Scripture. So it does not have to be loosey-goosey as it's presented by some. There's a great depth and a profound invitation that's a part of that.
Seth, what do you think?
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thank you, Father. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Seth. Yeah.
I guess we'll give you a free copy of the book, Seth, even though you could probably just steal one from his house, from the stack of books he's got there.
Yeah, I probably will. I'll probably just steal one from him.
No, hang on. We want to send you a copy. Thank you very much. And I what a beautiful thing to hear about your work in the Pearl. There's so many wonderful people in the medical profession who work in the pro-life movement, and God bless you for that. The number here is 888-318-7884. The book is Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus, Not His Way. Oh, excuse me. That was not the right subtitle. That didn't come out right. If you're going to make a mistake, don't make that one. All right. Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Our Way. And we're giving that out to those who call with a question this hour. Father Jeff Kirby is its author. It's new from Catholic Answers Press. Father, you know, it does seem to me that the kind of context that we live our Christian life in is so different even than it was 50 years ago, but certainly that 100 years ago. And so it's like hundreds and hundreds, almost 2,000 years of a certain context for the faith. But now we've got the computers and the TVs and soon the spaceships and all this stuff. Is it just a matter of, or is some of our lukewarmness just related to the fact that we are so distracted, that there's so much to distract us? And then if that is the case, what's the answer to that?
Yes, I could certainly agree with you. In fact, the recent encyclical by the Holy Father on you know, the heart, actually, he's pretty heavy on that message about the consequences of living in an overly, you know, overly tech society, and allowing it to kind of just, you know, usurp so many parts of our lives. So it's definitely there. I mean, the pace, you know, of people, the multitasking, was it YOLO, the only live once, the fear of missing out, and all this. It's a rat race, and so I think it definitely can affect relationships in general, and especially our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I think in response, I would say for people, you know, as you do with all occasions of sin, like we create boundaries, we try to prevent them. So, you know, block out a certain time. I know one family that after 9 o'clock, all the cell phones go in this little box they have, like this, you know, little container, and no one in the family is allowed to use the cell phone after 9 p.m. And it's just like, okay, that's it, you know? And so just, you know, whatever might work for an individual, for a family, it's just blocking things out, just letting the mind rest, the heart rest, the that pace rest, because when that happens, then we just naturally want to do higher things, like pray or read or listen to people, you know, try to understand our faith in a better way. So I would definitely say that that is certainly a problem in our society today.
Father Jeffrey Kirby, our guest, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. That's the subtitle for his new book, Real Discipleship, online from Washington. Joe, listening on 100.7 FM. Glad you're here, Joe. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, I'm just a little old lady, and I have a lot of little old friends, and a lot of them go to Mass every Sunday. And I do a lot at church. I'm a prayer mom and get the kids ready for their first communion and et cetera. And I always go to Mass. I go to confession. But should I be going to Mass every day? Is that something that's important?
So, okay, great question, Joe. And by the way, don't be too dismissive of holy old ladies, because I have an army of them in my parish. And I tell you, we wouldn't get anything done without them. So I'm so grateful for the holy women of the church. In answer to your question, I would say try to get to Mass as often as you can. There's an explosion of grace that's given to us, to our loved ones, to the entire church when we are able to participate at Mass and to receive Holy Communion in a worthy manner. So, you know, I realize that there are sometimes duties and responsibilities that, you know, can prevent someone from going every day. But if you can, I would say, yeah, I mean, it's the fastest way to grow in holiness. It's the greatest intimacy we can have with the Lord, is to be with him, console him as he hangs upon the cross, to receive his body and blood into our own bodies and souls. So, yeah, I would definitely, you know, highlight, give the thumbs up, shake my head, and say yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I do. I think they're wonderful, but I'm always wondering if I'm doing something wrong, if I should be doing that. But it'll just be a blessing, just like I love my parish, and what I do for the kids and what I do for the parish is a blessing to me, and it gives me joy. And as little old ladies, we're alone a lot, so it really helps to be able to go to church and be around people.
Yes, I agree. And I would encourage you to let daily Mass, as you're able to, be a part of that. Absolutely. So, yep.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Yes, thank you.
Care. All right. Thank you, Joe. God bless you. And hang on, because we do want to send you a copy of Father's book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. Father Jeff Kirby is our guest. He has written a whole bunch of books and several now for Catholic Answers Press, and we're awful proud of that. We had a caller drop who wanted to know, how important is it to have somebody else with you when evangelizing? Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, but it's hard for me to find a good partner. Part of living the disciples' life is to share the good news. So, Father, can you help this person?
Yes. I think it's essential to have someone with us, you know, when we're trying to evangelize or just to be disciples. With that said, I certainly can understand how it's getting harder in society to find someone that, you know, takes discipleship seriously or is willing to commit to, you know, we sometimes use these terms like accountability partners, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes like people are hesitant with that or they have other things going on. But I would say to anyone, keep doing your best. Keep trying to find that person. Pray to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to send a person. And I've oftentimes experienced in my life that when I'm looking for a fellow traveler on the way, it oftentimes is a person I would never expect or the type of person that I would choose, you know, and that's just further sign that it's from God. So it might be that the Lord's going to send us someone that's not the personality type we prefer or the temperament that we enjoy being around, but it's the Lord's work and not our own, you know, personal enjoyment that's the focus.
That's funny, Father, because you can imagine all the people who got paired up with St. Paul, and they were like, really, Lord, you want me to go with St. Paul? That's the assignment? Like, I couldn't go with Peter or Barnabas or one of the fun guys. I got to go with Paul.
Yes, that's great.
Father Jeff Kirby has been our guest. I will recommend again to you the book, Real Discipleship, How to Follow Jesus His Way, Not Ours. If you use the promo code Kirby at shop.catholic.com today. That's K-I-R-B-Y. You'll get 25% off when you order the book, shop.catholic.com. Father, we're always so grateful when you're here with us. May we and our listeners have your blessing before we go.
Yes, my pleasure. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. May he grant you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow. Carlo Broussard will be here both days, and we're going to talk about talking with Protestants about the saints and the saints praying for you. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.